Well, today I'd like to revisit and build on a message I brought maybe a little over a month ago. I'm up here pretty quick for me, but anybody here think they can remember what I preached on the last time I was up here? Anybody? See? Well, those of you who can't, we're going to be reviewing a lot of what I said last time, so you'll be able to catch up, and those of you who do remember, you'll be doubly blessed. In James chapter 1, beginning in verse 21, the writer says this. He says, "Putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word and plant it, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourself doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. And for once he has looked at himself and gone away, he immediately forgotten what kind of a person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does." I think we all desire to be doers of the word and be pleasing to God. We want to do the right thing all the time. But sometimes we struggle, or at least I struggle. And that's not unusual. The Apostle Paul struggled as well. In Romans 7:19, he says, "The good that I wish to do, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not wish." But Paul was not one to despair. So a few verses later in Romans chapter 8, he gives us this good news. He says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. Sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh." God did it all. "In order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the thing of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and is peace." So God has done it all. So if we want to walk in the Spirit, do the right things, but we're not adding to our salvation, because God did everything for us in that regard. But James tells us to be doers of the word. Paul tells us to be follow the Spirit, not the flesh. And in verses 5 and 6, Paul gives us some insight how to guide us in this quest. He tells us to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. He says, if you do this, you're going to have life and you're going to have peace. And that's what we're talking about in these couple messages, is setting our minds. If we want to do the right things, first we have to be thinking the right things. You see, what you do is born up here in the mind. If you want to do right, you got to have right things in your mind. Your mind has to be set on the right things. And the last time I spent quite a bit of time making the case that God has given us the ability to displace those undesirable, unwanted thoughts that come into our mind with thoughts that are edifying, profitable, and fitting for one who's walking in the Spirit and following the Lord. And we looked at Joshua 1:9. Where he tells Joshua, he says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." The Lord, what you see here is the Lord commanding Joshua how he is to think. You see, courage or fear are born inside of you, in the mind and in the heart. That's where courage and fear come from. And then what you think is acted out. You either act courageously or fearfully. So God is commanding him here, "I want you to think like this." He commands Isaiah 43. He commands through the prophet. He commands Israel. He says, do not fear. I've redeemed you. He tells them how they're to be thinking. If he's commanding them, then obviously it's something they can do. They can take control of what's up here in their minds, and rather than think the way they were thinking, think a different way, a way God wants them to think. And in Philippians chapter 4, Paul says this, Philippians 4, 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence and anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. It couldn't be any clearer that Paul is saying, don't think like this. Rather, think like this. Think about these good things, these edifying things. Let your mind dwell upon these things. You can't let your mind run around untamed like some wild animal. You know, you can take control of it and rein it in and think the kind of thoughts that God wants you to think. And I know it sounds difficult, but because of the way our brains work, if we do make an effort to control what's going on in there, and if you do make an effort to control what you let dwell in your mind, it's going to improve over time. Your brain can be trained. You can train your brain. It can be trained to accept certain types of input as important and reject other types of input. It's not much different than training a dog. It isn't. You train a dog. Some things are easy. You know, you can teach a dog to sit down or lay down, and in about 2 days you can teach a pup to do anything. There's some things you can train your mind to do that are pretty easy too, and then there's other things that are more difficult. My previous dog, Abby 1, I've got Abby 2 now. Abby 1, I taught Abby 1 how to smile. Don't ask me why I wanted to do that, but I said, I'm going to teach this dog. All she knew how to do is sit down, roll over, you know, the usual things that every dog does. But I says, I think I'm going to teach her how to smile. Well, I started with I'd take her, you know, I'd say, okay, smile, skin up her teeth, and give her a treat. I don't know how long this went on, and it didn't seem like I was getting anywhere. Then the day came, it kind of clicked. And she would smile on demand. And in time, she even got the smile on her own when it was appropriate. A stranger would walk in the house, she'd walk up and give him a big smile. Your brain's not that much different. There's some things you can teach it that are pretty easy. There are some things, you know, that might take a while. But if you stick with it, you can train your brain. I also talked about that filling your mind and keeping it full of good things is not unlike making a good pot of soup. You have a good recipe, quality ingredients, and you follow the process, follow the recipe. You do that, you get a good pot of soup. When it comes to managing our minds, it's pretty much the same. You put good stuff in, you follow the recipe, and you get a good result. When it comes to managing our minds, conveniently for us, the ingredients and the recipe and the instructions all come in one package, and that is God's Word. We've got the whole thing. So today I'd like to take a little time and see what the Word of God says about managing our minds and why it instructs us to do certain things. In Joshua chapter 1, chapter 6, verse 6, Joshua's about to lead Israel into the promised land, and the Lord's giving him some instructions. And he says, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and courageous, and be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have success. In James, going back to James, what we already read, he talks about if anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man. He looks at his face in the mirror, then he turns around and he just forgets what he was. But, he says in verse 25, if one looks intently, if he looks intently at the perfect law and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed. These two portions of Scripture, Old and New Testament, tell us that if we do God's word, we're going to please God and we're going to have success in whatever we do. And then it goes on to give us instructions as to what we must do to get our minds in line in order to be doers of the word. You have to think right to do right, and to think right, we've got to have God's word firmly planted in our minds. So what do we see in these passages that'll put us on the right track? In Joshua, verse 8, he says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night. He's saying, Joshua, if you're going to have success in this venture I'm putting you on, you've got to have this word has got to be an integral part of your life. You've got to be thinking about it. You've got to be reading it. You've got to be engrossed in this word. That's where you're going to have your success. And James tells us, he says, look, we have to look intently at the word. Just doesn't mean look at it hard or get down close to it, but you've got to look at it to look intently is to look with intent. You're reading the word with the intent that you're going to learn something from it, and you're going to put that word into action. So you're reading it, you're looking at it for a reason, as opposed to the casual hearer or reader who just glosses over it and it's quickly forgotten. So these are the instructions that are going to lead us into doing the right thing. To get God's word into our minds, keep it there, and then have the intent that we're going to do the word. So why God's word? Why does he say we need his word in us? Well, it's our foundation to begin with. That's what everything is based on. It's our spiritual food. In Deuteronomy 8:3, and Jesus repeated it in Matthew 4:4, he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. 1 Peter 2:2, it says, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. It's our food. To be spiritually healthy, we have to have that word. We have to have that in us. In Psalm 119, 105, it says, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It gives us direction. It's our food and it gives us direction. In Romans 15:4, it says, whatever was written in earlier times, Paul writes, was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and encouragement, a comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. So it gives us instruction. It gives us hope. And in Luke 11:28, Jesus says, blessed are those that hear the word of God and do it, abide by it, practice it, observe it. So the word of God is our food. It gives us direction, instruction, it gives us purpose, encouragement, hope, blessing. There's a lot more we could say, but it's clear that God wants us to have his word inside of us. That way we can be blessed. So what did God tell Joshua specifically about how to go about doing this? Well, he said, Meditate on my word day and night. Don't let it depart from your mouth. In Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but has his delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So he wants Joshua to be completely engrossed in his word, going over it and over it. Why this need for constant refilling and renewing? Why do we have that need? I mean, we're intelligent people. Once we read it, we've read it or heard it, shouldn't it be in there ready to use whenever we need it? Yeah, it should. No, that's not the way God made our minds. You see, our minds are designed to prioritize and sort out what's important and what's not important based on the way we think and the way we act. The brain determines what's important so it can make its own decisions. Things that through our inaction or our lack of thinking about us, the brain will make a decision and say, well, I guess that he's not doing anything with this. He's not thinking about it. I guess it's not important. So that's suppressed, or maybe eventually even discarded or buried so deep we can't find it again. That's the way it works. Without repetition, whatever we read or hear is likely to be eventually lost. There's a lot of things I learned over the years that I can't remember, I can tell you that. You know, studies have shown that people that study this sort of thing, that 50% of what we read or hear is lost almost immediately. As they say, in one ear and out the other. That may be a saying, but it's true. Within a couple of days, maybe we're down to 10% retention. And without some reinforcement or repetition, within a few days, you pretty much lost whatever you read. That's just the way it works. So repetition is necessary to learn and retain. In 2 Peter 2, Peter addresses this truth. It's in here somewhere. My poor old Bible here is falling apart. I've got another one just like it, but it somehow it's just not the same, and I can't bring myself to use it. Well, it's probably up there on the board. Peter says, I shall always be ready to remind you, to stir you up by way of reminder, in order that you may be able to call these things to mind. And in 2 Peter 3, 1 and 2, he says, stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior. See, even though the readers already knew these things, Peter said, you know, I want to remind you of these things again so you can have your mind on it. And even though they had since their minds were sincere, Peter recognized there was still necessary to remind them some more. Sincerity, you know, wanting to do the right thing isn't just enough. Being sincere doesn't cut it. You have to be reminded to do the right things. Without repetition, we forget what we used to know. The writer of Hebrews had something to say about this. He was having a bit of a time teaching his hearers about Jesus, and he became a little frustrated. In Hebrews 5, 11 or 12, he says, you've become dull of hearing. He says, you need again for somebody to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. In other words, you know, you've already been taught this, but you've forgotten it already, so we're going to have to go back and teach it again. That's the way God has made our minds and designed our brains and memory to function. And if you want to know why, you can take that up with them when you when you get up there. But that's why we have to constantly revisit his word. And scientists who study the learning process have observed the same, and I'm sure you have in your own life. You know, whenever we first read something, it's stored in what they call short-term memory. It's just in there. It's just what it is. It's short-term. It doesn't hang around in there very long. It's in there long enough for the brain to decide whether it's important or not. But to learn something, you all did this when you went to school, to get something into long-term memory where it's stored for future use, it's going to take some repetition. You just don't read something and you've got it down pat. You've got to repeat and go over it. That's how we get into something, into our long-term memory, where we can recall it. But just getting it there doesn't necessarily mean that's the end of the story, because once it's in there, it doesn't necessarily mean you can find it again, as all of you probably have had that experience. You see, as new information comes into our mind, it interferes with the old stuff that we had learned a little while ago. And the pathways to that information become kind of crowded. It's kind of like you found this neat place in the woods and you had a path out to it, some rock formation or something, and you had a path and you keep going to it. Well, then you don't go there for a few years. The path becomes overgrown. It's still there, but man, I can't find the path. I can't seem to find it. That's not unlike the way our brains are. There are some things in there that they're there, but sometimes they're hard to get at. You've all had that experience. So repetition is a key, and that's why we have to meditate on the word and read it and revisit it and go back to it. That way we keep the pathways clear. In addition to the need for repetition, James tells us, he says, look intently, in James 1:25, we have to look intently at the word. In Hebrews 2:1, the writer says, we must pay close attention to what we've heard, lest we drift away from it. The King James Version says, we must give more earnest heed to the things we've heard. So not only is repetition needed, meditate day and night, he told Joshua, but we also have to focus and concentrate on what we're hearing and reading. I can't tell you how many times over the years I've read something, I've read a whole page of something, and then I'll think, and I said, what did I just read? Because I wasn't reading, I wasn't focusing. You know, if you read or if you hear and you're not focusing, you're not paying attention, you've got no chance of learning what you're reading or hearing. No chance. You won't trick the brain. The brain's going to know you're not paying attention, and it's just going to go right by. It's not going to pay any attention to it. It's right out of the short-term memory into the street, if it even gets that far. You know, and that's why, you know, we'll come to a message on Sunday. Pastor or somebody will preach a message. Some people will leave blessed, encouraged, edified, and others will leave the same way they came in. That's the difference in the ones that were focused on what was being taught and those who didn't. It's a matter of focus. Now, I want to give you a few practical ideas, strategies, maybe some things that I do, or bits of knowledge that help me. Maybe they'll help you to help keep our minds focused on the things of God. Now, as far as reading God's word and meditating goes, I would say that quality trumps quantity when it comes to learning God's word and setting your mind, your brain has limited short-term memory. So as at some point, as more comes in, something else is getting pushed out. So it's probably, as far as learning goes, it's probably best to read a few minutes and then stop and think about what you've just read. And you can call that meditation, if you will, but think about it. Make some notes. Even if you don't keep them, it's helpful just to write stuff down as you're reading. As far as focus goes, I would say that multitasking, we hear a lot about it. It's pretty much a myth as far as I'm concerned. You can jump back and forth between this and that somewhat effectively, but if you really want to learn something, you've got to focus on it. You don't read the Bible and listen to the news at the same time. Your mind can only process one thing at a time. Try to understand when you're reading the Word. Try to understand what you're reading. But if you come across a difficult passage, I mean, don't get sidetracked by that and go off in some rabbit hole. I've heard it said, and I believe it, when it comes to God's Word and understanding God's Word, I've heard somebody say that the main things are the plain things, and the plain things are the main things. So anything that's you have to know, you will understand. And if there's something that intrigues you and you want to go back to it, make a note of it, go back to it later and do your study. But don't get hung up on difficult things. If you find yourself, you've plowed through three chapters of the Bible and feeling real good about yourself, and when you get finished, you're not sure what you read, well, go back and read it again. This time, focus, and if you only read a half a chapter and understand it, you're way better off than if you read three chapters and don't know what you read. And focusing is a learned skill. This is something else you can train your brain to do. You can train yourself to focus. For some, depending on how you're wired, for some it's easier than others, but you can teach your brain and train yourself to focus. Now, when it comes to listening to a message, whether it's Sunday morning or on a tape or whatever, focus is important. You know, every Sunday, no matter who's up here, God has a word for you. If you're here, you're not here by mistake, and who's ever up here preaching isn't here by mistake, and God has something for you. Every Sunday you're here. Now, if we're listening with intent, with the intent to receive from God, then we're going to receive what he has for us that day. And it's the responsibility of the hearer, not the preacher. If the pastor is up here preaching, and I'm out there sitting and thinking about what I'm going to be doing next week, and I miss out, that's on me. That's not on him. So we have to keep our minds engaged during a message. Now how you do that is up to you. I do a couple of things that help me. I take notes. As I listen, I'll jot down the scriptures that are being used. I'll jot down some of the main points. I'll make some of my own notations, my thoughts on a particular scripture, or sometime it'll trigger something in my mind and I might say, hey, maybe I might use that in a future word somewhere down the line. So I'll take some notes that'll help me. I may refer to those notes again. I may never look at them again, but it helps me at the time stay engaged in what's going on. Even though the words are up on the screen, I'll usually be turning in my Bible when time allows it, if we're going through the scriptures. That just helps me stay engaged. And I can't explain it, but I get more out of it when I see it in my Bible. Maybe it helps me go back to it later. I don't know what it is, but it helps me. So those are those are a couple of the things that I do to stay engaged. Now, you can do what you want, but the point is, if we're going to get something out of our Sunday mornings and come out of here better off than we were when we came in, then we have to stay focused. That's how we learn. That's what James is talking about. Something else I think that's useful when it comes to God's Word is revisiting some of those forgotten paths that where we know there's something, we know there's something in here, but I just can't get to it anymore. I've forgotten it. Some of those things get overgrown to the point we just can't remember them anymore. And so this year I'm doing something that I haven't done in a long time to help me refresh some of those paths, and that's I'm reading through the Bible this year in a systematic fashion to make sure I don't miss anything. Now, I haven't done that in a long time. Now, that's not to say I don't spend time reading the Bible, but by not doing so in a systematic manner, there's a lot of things I haven't gone over in a long time. So I'm finding that helpful, and that's I've found that invigorating. And I'm reading some things that not the type of things that change the way I believe or that sort of thing, but they're giving me just refreshing my mind, giving me some depth and some things. Oh yeah, I remember that. That's really interesting, and it's. And also it establishes a discipline, and that's also important when it comes to the Word of God. It keeps me, it makes sure I'm in there every day, and as I read different things, then it'll trigger me to go somewhere else and read something else. So it's and it's also it tells my brain, it's training my brain to giving it more encouragement that hey, this is important stuff, and to so that it in turn gives me feedback. So let me just say this. Another thing they say about learning is you can't give people too much at one time, or it hinders their learning. So I'm gonna stop here, but let me just summarize and say this. To please God, we've got to be doers of the Word. To be doers of the Word, we've got to get His Word firmly implanted in our minds. To get His Word into our minds and keep it there, then we've got to constantly revisit it with repetition, and we've got to read it and hear it with intent. Intent to learn and apply it. I'll just refer to those educators that study this stuff one more time, and they say that, you know what, if you believe you can remember, then it's going to help you remember. So if you believe you can control your mind, you know, it's going to help you. What God is asking you to do today, to take control of your minds, is something we can all do, or He wouldn't ask us to. In Romans 12:2, I'll close with this. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind. Can you say amen today? Amen. Amen.